Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever in the world you are. Welcome to the Matt Kim Podcast. Today, it's a different type of vibe. The light is a little dimmer. The raining outside of my window. It's a weird vibe. It's this weird vibe that I have kind of throughout this country, throughout this world. And I feel like we need to talk about it. I feel like we need to address it. It's been a while since I've done one of these streams. I'm going to say the last time I did a stream and I talked to you guys directly, it's got to be in at least a month. We've done a few watch parties. We've done a few collaborations. We've done some campaign events. But it's been a long time since I sat here and I talked right to you guys. So that's kind of what I want to do today. Typically when we do these streams, we kind of have a show, we have a little bit of programming, we've been doing a little bit of programming, trying to expand the show, but today, it's just going to be a really long monologue. So if you want to crack a beer, if you want to pour yourself a glass of wine, if you want to kick your feet up and maybe just listen, because we got a lot of stories today. I've had the opportunity to fly to Romania and interview Andrew Tate. We'll tell that story. I've had the opportunity to attend a Trump rally and meet President Trump. We'll tell that story. I've had an opportunity to interview recently Dr. Peter McCullough, and that's kind of wild. We'll tell that story also. Usually, again, we start and we do a little monologue first and then we kind of get into our show. But today, it's just monologue. So I hope you guys stick around. I appreciate you spending your Friday night with me. I know your time is valuable. And if you're here tonight, spending your Friday night with me, spending your Friday night being a part of the Free Thinker Army, it means you care. It means you are concerned about the direction of society. It means you're concerned about the direction of this country. And I think you should be, because the vibe is weird. I've been saying for the longest time, it's going to come. I've been saying for the longest time that it's going to get worse before it gets better. It's starting to get worse, and I can feel it. I can feel it in the air. I've been all over at this point for the last month, 2 months. I've been traveling, going to these events, sitting in these weird corner, dark, shadowy rooms. It's getting weird. Y'all need to buckle up. Because I've been thinking about people online. The creators that I listen to, the creators that we kind of get our world and US news from. The independent media, we call them. And I feel like we need to start categorizing people. We need to categorize people. 99% of them are what I would like to call content creators. A content creator is someone that makes content for themselves. Whether it be for power, whether it be for influence, money, whether it be for their personal gain. That is one side. And then there's the rare few. The rare few that I would consider to be thought leaders. People that make content for the benefit of others. And I'm trying to be on the side of the road less traveled. The more difficult side. The side where you are not shaken by the establishment, not shaken by the propaganda, that you don't get fallen into the propaganda machine, because the propaganda machine is strong. For example, just yesterday, after the United States announced that they're going to give $33 billion to Israel and $500 million for the Iron Dome, right after that, the trending video out there was the drone strike on the four people walking down the street in Gaza. We all saw that video. Everyone saw the video. Four people walking down the street, boom, drone strike, die. It's a really bad time for that video to go viral. So I get this message from the propagandists, and they say, hey, Matt, can you make a video talking about how the Middle East is spreading misinformation? I said, no, I don't want to do that. Yeah, that sounds like propaganda. Scratch that. Can you make a video saying that the Biden administration's handling of misinformation of the Middle East is bad? You like that one. How about that? No, I'm good. Because it is propaganda. We'll pay you $1,500. No, I'm good. We'll pay you $2,000. I think I'm good. Name your price. How much should we pay you to say that there is disinformation coming out of the Middle East because we don't want people to think that our money is funding drones hitting innocent people? Oh, didn't you see? I was like, oh, I don't want to be a part of it. But then you go online and you search and like, okay, who's saying it's misinformation? You're like, fuck. A lot of people took the money. Even if it's a topic you agree with, if they can buy your ideas, it's propaganda. I believe it. And I know it's hard. It's hard for people trying to make a living doing this. And maybe, you know, you have your own reasons for doing so. And who am I to judge how you handle that? I can't do that. I just can't. If I'm going to do that, and I'm going to start taking the money, number one, I could make a lot of damn money doing it. And I feel like they would start inviting you to a lot more things. You'd be part of the club. They would stop shadow banning you. They would stop throttling your account. All the games that they play on your social media accounts, it probably goes away when you start taking the money. I'm probably sure, pretty sure that's how it works. But we fight through anyway. Because there is a global mind virus. I think it's a mind virus. I think that's what it is. I think most people don't even know they have it. I think it's a mind virus. And the fact that I exist, the fact that there are so many of you right now listening to me and what I do is so different than everyone else. Because they tell you that if you make videos online, it has to be fast. You have to talk fast. You have to have lots of moving pictures. You have to keep people engaged. That's what they tell you to do. You have to say really polarizing things. You have to say gotcha moments. You got to do this to grow online. I don't do any of that. I stop. When I hear something that I want to talk about, I stop. I think. And then I give my opinion. I will put my facts in an order in which to tell my story. I am deliberate with my words. I choose my words extremely carefully. When I go live, I try to test different ideas, test different combinations of words, test different theories that I have, see what the reaction is. But when I put my videos, short videos out there that I know are going to go and a lot of people are going to watch them, 500,000 to 1 million people watch every one I put up. When I do those, I'm very intentional. And most people are not. And I get it. Everyone's got their thing. That's my thing. But it's not supposed to work. And I thought about it. Why does it work? Why do people listen to me speak when in a format that it's not supposed to work? And I struggled with that for the longest time. And I thought it was maybe because I'm not very combative with my words, or maybe because I speak in a slower manner so that people can read it and I put my text out there, or maybe it's just the way I put words together. And then it hit me. It actually hit me today. When a mind virus infects an organism, there is a natural reaction to fight back. And doing exactly the opposite of what you're told to be due, doing the opposite of what is supposed to work, it's society's reaction to fight back. It's society's reaction to almost break free of the mind virus. Because there is a mind virus. It's all over the world. It's not just here in this country. It's all over the world. And people are susceptible to it. And I had this thought too. Because we like to use this word, controlled opposition. If you are a controlled opposition, but you don't know you're controlled, are you still controlled opposition? Because you only know what your matrix shows you. You only know the information you're given. And if they are throttling information to you, if they are controlling the narrative in which you view the world, if they control everything that you see, hear, and think about, even if they let you go, is it your fault? I struggle with that one. Because I'm thinking about it. There are people online, huge people online, that say sometimes things that if I said in that manner, if I maybe were to read word for word, I'd probably get a video deleted, maybe a strike. But some people, there's a few people that are allowed to. And when I hear those people speak and when I see those videos, my immediate gut reaction is they're controlled opposition. But maybe they don't even know. Maybe they just speak what they're thinking and the algorithm intentionally lets them through. Because we're all slaves to the algorithm at this point. That's how life works. I heard the best phrase today. I used it in the video. We live in a digital ghetto. They wall you in and they create this wall-less, invisible prison of your mind that you live in. And you don't even know you're there. Because you think you're hearing the truth, but how do you know the truth if you don't know what the truth is? And how do you know the truth if you only hear one side and maybe that's all you want to hear? And maybe you're screaming so loud that you're trying to get the truth out there and the only people that are telling are people stuck in the same prison cell with you. Isn't that how they control it? You feel like you're doing something because you're getting your words out there, but they're walling you in and you don't even know. And it's just echoing. You're in your own echo chamber. And I thought about that too today. Because someone was talking about Elon Musk with me. Elon Musk believes that what he's doing is good. I believe he believes what he's doing is good. I believe that his intent is pure. I do. Crazy thought. What if someone, an engineer, tweaked his algorithm so that he only sees what they want him to see? He sees the world and he sees how the world, and he sees entire society through his own Twitter feed. If you control his Twitter feed, you control how he sees the world. If they control your Twitter feed, if they control your algorithm on Instagram or TikTok or Facebook or wherever else, they control how you see the world. It's a mind virus. It's a mind virus that's controlling the way you think, the way you see the world. And I feel like what we're doing online is our natural gut reaction to protect ourselves. I recently got back in the last 3 months, last month, month and a half, I've had the opportunity to meet with maybe three of the people that are the most canceled people out there. Some of you may love Andrew Tate. Some of you may hate him. I find him fascinating. Not only because of what he says. I find him fascinating because he will never comply. He's going to go down with the ship. And there's something about that that I just greatly respect. He is, when I met him, and when before I met him, literally it was a handful of DMs. We should do something together. Yeah, I prefer to do it in person. Okay, you should come to Romania. Okay, and then I went. That's kind of how the whole Andrew Tate thing happened. I think I'm the last American to interview Andrew Tate. And what I realized from him is, number one, he would have been successful in probably anything in life. whatever he decided to do in life, he would have been successful. I believe it. I also think it's kind of sad. I think it's kind of sad because, you know, he came from just the poorest of upbringings, like the absolute dirt poor. That's how he was raised, from a very not nice area. And he did what he did need to do to survive. Morally, do I agree? I don't know. Probably not. It's not what I would have done. But to say that I'm any better in my past is hypocritical. I think I've done things that I regret. I think I've done things that, you know, looking back now in my life, I probably would have done differently. And if I continue to grow and the channel continues to grow and we keep on going and we keep on making the impact that we have, they'll probably bring it up one day. Who knows? Maybe they'll cancel me too. I kind of expect it at this point. But if someone found that guy when he was maybe 25 years old, if someone found Andrew Tate when he was 25 years old and gave him a real opportunity, because he's so smart. I mean, if anything, you can't take away the fact that he's ridiculously smart, ridiculously well-spoken, ridiculously energetic and charismatic, and carries himself with like this energy that most men do not. Those, I think, are undeniable facts. Whether or not, the question is, do you agree with his ideas or do you agree with his past? But you can't question the guy's a smart guy. He speaks extremely well. If someone found him when he was 25 years old, I think he would have made them $1 billion. I think if he had the opportunity in life to someone to harness his energy and to help guide him, and maybe that's a little sad. I think maybe even if he had a father growing up, maybe his life trajectory would have been different. Maybe he'd be a different person today. But I don't think he belongs in jail. I spent a lot of time with him. We interviewed for a little bit over 4 hours. I spent probably about 6 or 7 hours with him straight. I find him honest, genuine. He was the nicest guy. And I kind of wish him the best. There was a moment when we were having a conversation. And he looked right at me. And I was like, man. And he was talking about the fact that maybe he's going to go back to jail. And maybe he even welcomes it. And I looked him right in the eye and said, like, you shouldn't say that. I believe in words. I believe in the manifestation of words. And I don't think you should put that negative energy out there. And he looked right at me. And it sent chills down my spine. Because he looked right at me and he said, what if I want to go to jail? What if I'm ready to die for this cause? And I believed him. It was this moment where he would rather go to jail and take all the public lashings that he's taking. He would rather do that than be the guy that gave in. You gotta respect that. I respect that. I respect the shit out of that. Because 99% of people do it for themselves, for fame, for money. He refuses to let people down, to let people know that he caved to the pressure, that he caved to the establishment, he caved to the matrix. He refuses to let people know that he who said he will never back down, back down. Because he knows that if he backs down, it's going to incentivize others to do the same. And for that simple reason, he's never going to back down. How can you not love that? How could you not respect that? Again, you may not agree with all of his ideas. You may not agree with his past. It's not easy to do that. It's not easy to find a hill to die on. And he's found his hill to die on. And I feel like what I'm doing, I feel like it's motivated me. Die on my hill. It's motivated me to be the guy that's going to ask the questions that needs to be asked. It motivated me to be the person that questions everything, even though it's difficult to do. Because life has been weird for me these days. It's been weird. And I'll go into the things that have been weird, but it's been weird. It's really hard to explain it. It's a vibe. I can feel it. I can feel it. Ever since that TikTok ban hit the news, things have been weird online. And I knew it was going to come. They're not trying to ban TikTok because they care about your data. They don't give a fuck about your data at all. Zero. If they cared about your data, they'd be going after themselves because the US government is the one that leaks most of your data. If they cared about your data, they'd be going after places like Experian, and they'd be going after credit card companies, and they'd be going after AT&T and Verizon and Facebook and Google for stealing and selling your data. They're not. They don't care about your data. They all sell your data to the same marketplace for pennies on the dollar to the same exact people. It's open. Open marketplace. They don't care where your data is going. What happened with TikTok, I believe, is that all the servers got moved to Texas to NSA-controlled Oracle servers. And they had an opportunity to look inside of the data. They looked into the TikTok data and they realized the bottom of society is starting to get annoyed. The bottom of society is starting to organize. The bottom of society is fed up. They were losing control. They thought, because when these congressmen and these establishment leaders, because TikTok's really algorithmic based and TikTok is based on your search history and what you do online. And every time they go into TikTok, all they see is trans kids dancing and trans kids, you know, dancing around and all this weird shit. And they're like, oh, TikTok's filled with all this liberal crap. And they thought that was true, not realizing that it's their algorithm showing them exactly what they want to see. Says a lot about what they look up in their free time. That's what they thought it was. They thought it was short clips of people doing weird shit. That's what they thought TikTok was. And they finally got a chance to look inside all the data. And what they saw was people are pissed off. People don't care about the dancing. People care about the ideas. And even though TikTok, every time they go to Congress, they ban, they throttle, they delete conservative creators, they're still losing. Even with all the government-forced censorship on TikTok, the platform, people are getting red-pilled there. It's actually the number one platform for someone to get red-pilled, TikTok. It's the number one platform for someone to switch from a non-Trump voter to a Trump voter. It's fact. It's true. It's the number one place where people are waking up. And they had no idea that was true. And as soon as they figured that out, and as soon as they saw the data and they saw it empirically that that's what's going on, they're like, we got to shut this thing down. And they don't want to shut it down. No one's going to shut it down. You don't shut down an app that has 170 million daily users. They'll never do that. They want to control it because they want to control the narrative. They want to control who's speaking out there. Every time TikTok shows up at Congress, the frequency of my videos on TikTok gets deleted goes up. Every single time. Like clockwork. They're showing up and they're saying, if you want us to give you less of a hard time, if you want us to allow you to run your business, these are the words you need to ban. These are the ideas you need to get rid of. And TikTok, being kind of the pussies that they are, comply. If I was running that business, I don't know. That'd be a really tough decision for me. When the government shows up with the government gun and they say, you have to comply, how many people can comply? Actually, a lot. We've seen that already. We've seen that all throughout 2016. The government shows up with their government gun and they say, put on your mask. People said, okay. Maybe you didn't. A lot of people did. Because that's what happens. The government shows up with a government gun and we all comply. They strong arm you. That's what they did to Twitter in 2016. They showed up and they say, look, that Hunter Biden laptop story, that's Russia disinformation. If you're Facebook and you're Twitter and the government shows up with a government gun and you say, that's take it off or we're going to shut you down because you guys are spreading hoax. What do you do? Is it election interference? Fuck yeah. Is it a problem? Of course. But now we know. Because in 2016, we kind of knew, but we didn't really know. We knew, but we didn't really know. Summer of 2016. Before 2016, I used to make like car videos. I love cars. I used to make car videos. That's what I did. Car videos. Summer of 2016, I decided that since we're all home and we're all kind of just locked up in our houses, I'm going to turn on YouTube and I'm going to start streaming. I think my first stream on YouTube, and it wasn't huge, a few hundred people hanging out. And they said, and I started talking about ideas. Things like New World Order. This was like June. This is so early on during COVID. Something's not right in this world. I feel like they're trying to reorganize for this new world order. These are the ideas that I had. It just came to me. No one was really talking about that yet. It really wasn't out there. I wasn't on Twitter, and Twitter wasn't allowing that type of stuff anyway. This is just what I saw logically between all the things that we've encountered between April and June. Seems like they're reorganizing the world for a new world order. And they deleted my streams. YouTube started deleting my streams. And it made me pause. It made me stop. It made me stop because I thought, man, maybe my ideas are too radical. Maybe my ideas are harmful. Because they said it's harmful, it's misinformation, that it's harmful ideology. And I didn't know then. I thought maybe they're right. Maybe my ideas are too radical, and in a time where people are scared, maybe I shouldn't have these ideas. Maybe I shouldn't put them out into the world. And after they deleted some like 3 or 4 videos of mine on YouTube for streaming to like 200 people, I just stopped. I turned off the internet. I turned off social media. I turned off Instagram. I turned off everything. And I'm like, do you know what? Maybe I am the problem. Maybe my ideas are too radical. Maybe I should stop. And I did. And I stopped. Probably 5 weeks into it, 6 weeks into it, I got frustrated with the cancellations, frustrated with everything else, and I just stopped talking. I just turned off social media altogether. I shouldn't have done that. But I did. Because I didn't know. What if that 1% chance that I'm wrong and they're right and I'm being harmful to other people and I'm hurting your grandma, what if I'm wrong? And they got me to question myself. They got me to question myself. They got me to pause. They got me to completely stop. And most importantly, they got me to completely stop talking. They got me to disappear. They didn't tell me to disappear. They just made it frustrating enough where it made you question yourself. We're in a very similar place. We're in a very similar place because I get messages every day from people. This is my 6th time following you. This is my 5th time following you. Hey, I just had to follow you. Hey, I just tried to share your post on my story And it says, I don't follow you anymore. So I got to follow you again. On Instagram, I have a broadcast channel. And a broadcast channel is like 10,000 people in there. And I'm able to communicate one way to the people in the channel. So only I can type. Only I can type in the broadcast channel. Today, I go into the broadcast channel because I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to go live on Rumble. You should check it out. And I open up my phone and I look down and it says something, someone is typing. How is someone typing in my broadcast channel when I'm the only one that can type out? Am I paranoid? I don't know. I saw it. Am I seeing things? I don't think so. But it definitely happened. I think. They got me tripping. I sent a message to another friend who's a pretty big creator today on Instagram through a DM. And I shot her a message. It was something, I made some joke about eat bugs and comply. And afterwards I said, hey, I have this weird vibe. I feel like they're going after people. They're going to start shutting people down. They're going to start censoring people. And I feel like because you have a big platform, I feel like the people with the larger platforms, it's our responsibility to try to protect the smaller voices. The smaller voices that care. Because they're going to get deleted. And these are the people that actually make a difference. The big voices, the big names that you all know, I don't think they make a difference. I think they're entertaining. I think they're informative. I don't think they're changing people's minds. I don't think someone goes, I watch Ben Shapiro talk, and then all of a sudden, oh yeah, okay, I'm gonna be conservative now. I don't think anyone thinks that, ever. It's the person that feels like you, that you can relate to, and when you hear them talk, sometimes they say something and it opens your mind. Those are the people they're going to go after. The people that are actually making a difference in this world. They're going to let the big accounts go and they're going to let them survive. So when they say there's censorship, like, wait, how is there censorship? Tucker Carlson's still there and he's a right-wing conspiracy theorist. And they're going to be able to say that. And all the people that are actually doing God's work that don't get the recognition, they're going to lose their voices. And I said, I think we need to help them. We need to organize. Not verbatim. I don't know. It was probably much shorter than that. That was my idea. And I go into, she responds to me and I go into the DM to read it. And the message that I gave her saying that they're going to cancel people and we should organize, that message disappeared. It's gone. I typed it. I sent it. It's no longer there. How crazy is that? They're coming. I can feel it. It's these little moments. It's these little moments that you can feel that there's a shift going on in the world, a shift going on in society. And I felt it in 2016 and I shut up. I feel the same thing now, but even stronger. So I need to just keep on talking. I need to keep on telling you what I see. Because for some reason, somehow, there was this allergic reaction from the organism, which is society, to the mind virus. And out of that repelling of the mind virus, somehow my voice has been amplified. And I don't take that for granted. Because if anything, I feel like it's my responsibility to keep going. So everything that I do, everywhere I go, I'm going to tell you guys literally everything that I see, everything that I know, because I feel like that's what I'm supposed to do. The more truth about situations, the more truth you know about people, the better informed you are, the more you're able to tell other people. And maybe we'll wake people up just one at a time. That's my goal. So I had an opportunity to meet President Trump. I was at a Trump rally, at a MAGA rally, and it was awesome. It's my first time at an actual rally. I've been to the campaign victory events. You guys know that. I was there in Iowa. I was there in South Carolina. But I found myself at the Trump rally in Rome, Georgia. And before I tell you about Trump, let me tell you about MTG. Let me tell you about MTG. Because until Rome, Georgia, MAGA, Trump rally, I was kind of torn on her. All right? I was torn on how I feel about Marjorie Taylor Greene. Because sometimes she's an agitator. She's an instigator. Sometimes I feel like she does some of the things that she does for attention, for clout, for clicks and views. I felt that. But then something happened. When we were at the Trump rally and she walked out, the place went wild. MTG, MTG. It went nuts. Like bonkers nuts. Like never expected that. That crazy. Jim Jordan was there. Other congressmen were there. Obviously, other than President Trump. MTG walked out and the place blew the lid off because that was her district. And that, those were the people that voted for her. And then it hit me. If the people that voted for you appreciate the work that you're doing and they sent you there to be an agitator, to be annoying, to bring more attention to issues that they care about, whether you like her or I like her, doesn't matter. The people that elected her appreciated her. The people that chose her and sent her to Washington, she's doing exactly what they want her to do. And there was just something so honest about that. Because, again, some people say she's not for everyone. I agree. You didn't vote for her. She doesn't represent you. She's not your congresswoman. The people that voted for her, she is doing exactly what they want her to do. And if that's true, isn't that what we all want? Don't you want a congressperson that represents your view? Don't you want a congressperson that's in Washington speaking on your behalf? Isn't that what they're elected for? Is that how you feel about your congressman in your district and where you live? Because if they walk in a room and you're not super excited that they're there, they actually suck because they don't represent you. I was on the fence with Marjorie Taylor Greene, but when I realized that the people that voted for her absolutely love her and she is doing exactly what they sent her to Washington to do, I gained a new respect for her because it made sense. Isn't that exactly what they're supposed to do? Represent you and your district and your neighborhood and your family. That was really eye-opening for me. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect to feel that way. I thought I'd see her come out and I'd be like, okay, whatever. But she came out and that place, the energy in that room, so electric. And I feel like that's what our elected leaders are supposed to do. Represent your voice, the people that actually voted for them. Because the problem we have with Congress is that they represent other people's voices. They care about what other people want them to do. They care about what their lobbyists want them to do. They do what other are benefit for the other countries, for their donors. They care about everyone but the people that voted for them. Marjorie Taylor Greene's district, she is doing exactly what they wanted her to do. Something very honest about that. So we get to the Trump rally, and the Trump rally is wild. If you've never been to a Trump rally, highly, highly recommend you go to a Trump rally one day. Because there's something about it. There's something about a Trump rally that's just different. And people will say, and I'm assuming a lot of people that are in this stream are Trump people, Trumpers. If you've never been to a Trump rally, you need to go. Because people will say, it's like a big white supremacist meeting and it's angry and people are, you know, they are insurrectionists trying to take over the government. They tell you that all the time. It is nothing but positivity, high energy, and the energy in the room with all those people there that are there for a common goal. And the common goal is not necessarily Trump. They are there because they care about this country. And you can feel it. The thing I loved about the Trump rally is that the first thing they do when the rally starts is, number one, what they did. Maybe it's different in other states. It's what they did in Georgia. The first thing they did at the Trump rally is they prayed. After they pray, they do the national anthem. After they do the national anthem, everyone is still standing and they do the Pledge of Allegiance. Isn't that awesome? When do we do that anymore? What's wrong with that? Isn't that like what we want? Because they want to take nationalism away from you. They don't want you to feel like you belong to something bigger. They don't want you to feel like you belong to something more important. They don't want you to feel like you have community. They want you to feel like you're alone so that all you do is consume their content, their propaganda, and again, spread their mind virus. That's what they want. And God forbid you're able to find community of like-minded thinkers with like-minded goals and passions and desires and wants and needs for this country, for this family, for the people around you, the people that you love and care about. God forbid you care about them. They only want you to care about yourself because they only care about themselves. And it's lonely. And loneliness loves company. They don't want you to feel like you have community. That's why they take everything away. That's why they try to lock you home. That's why they try to keep you online. Oddly enough, here we are online together. So we get to the Trump rally, and there's an opportunity to take a picture with him. Some of you guys may have seen it. Some of you guys have not. I got to take a picture, and I brought my wife and my daughter with me. And we stood in this line. About 50 people in line to take a picture that day. 50 people to take a picture that day. And that line itself was fascinating. Because usually when I go to these big events and people are taking pictures, it's all donors. The donors are always at the front of the line. The people with power, influence, other politicians that need their picture, they're the ones that get their picture. But I'm at this Trump rally, and I'm looking in line, and I'm looking at the people around me, and half the people in that line, their belts look like they're going to fall off. Their shoes are a little jagged. President Trump is taking pictures with people regardless of where you're from, regardless of what your background is. He's taking pictures with people that are willing to sacrifice their time and help with the campaign. I thought that was so beautiful. I can't imagine, other than Joe Biden going to eat some fried chicken at a black person's house, other than that, I can't see him doing that. It's not a vision or I just don't see it. Can you even imagine that? Can you imagine that Joe Biden standing in line, taking pictures with like random people in an important event? Never. It would never happen. He is taking pictures with people that are willing to sacrifice their time and help. I thought that was so awesome. So we're standing in line. We get to the front, and there is a curtain. And on the other side of the curtain, you can hear President Trump talking. And my wife. My wife opens up the curtain just to peek because you can hear the voice. And there's like, it's like two curtains put together. She opens up the curtain just to peek and look inside. And she sees President Trump in person for the first time. I've seen him a couple times. She sees him for the first time. And she, her jaw just dropped, like hit the floor. Because there was something about the energy of being there. I mean, literally the most famous person in the world. And for my wife, who is not a political person, but definitely knows who President Donald Trump is, for her to see him and be in that setting and be in that area and know that we're about to meet him and my daughter is going to meet him, her drop just boom, hit the floor and she went and just stared. It was really cute. And my daughter had just fallen asleep and we have to wake her up as the line goes. And it's kind of like this, you know, wrap around line. And as we get closer, I'm like, all right, I got to wake my daughter up. We've been there 4 hours already for this rally. She's falling asleep. She's only a year and a half old. And we wake her up because, you know, we don't want to wake her up right when we get to Trump because we don't want her to cry, right? I don't want her crying. And like, she's crying in this picture. Because we have three people or four people in front of us. We're like, all right, you got to wake up. You got to wake up. Let's wake up. Let's wake her up. Wake her up. We go in and, you know, get to meet President Trump and shake his hand. And as soon as, like, I shake his hand and, you know, he says hi and all of this. And as soon as he sees a baby, he's like, I'm not even there. He leans over and he goes, what a perfect baby. Dude. As a father, isn't that exactly what you would have wanted to hear? What a perfect baby. And I get it. He calls everything perfect. Fine. I can live with that. Still amazing. And those people in line, so we weren't there very long, just a minute or two. And we moved on, and then we got to hear him speak. We got to go. We got to get out of there eventually. It was... It was amazing. It was amazing because 1 year ago, if you told me 1 year ago that I would be shaking hands with the President of the United States, the one that many people here may consider the best President of the United States, the one that most of us are thinking, we hope he wins the election and are fighting to help win the election. If you told me a year ago that I would meet him, forget about it. Never in a million years. That thought 1 year ago never even crossed my mind. The idea that this random guy from the corner of Georgia that talks into a camera that really, you know, has no involvement in politics, no involvement in media, no involvement in anything bigger than just kind of the corner of my world. If you told me that I'd have an opportunity to meet with President Trump, I'd say you're stupid. You are the most ridiculously stupid, idiotic person in the world is what I've told you. Because it doesn't make sense 1 year ago. But to be here now, it's crazy, and I'm grateful. It was amazing. It's so cool. And I was telling a friend of mine, and everyone I tell, like, oh, you got to send me the picture. I'm going to tell. And everyone wants to share it and show their friends or, like, family because, like, it's unexpected. A statistical anomaly. Who in a million years did you think that just being a guy from the corner of Georgia can one day start talking into a camera, unpaid, non-propagandized, no media team, no experience in anything that we do, just turn our camera, go on the internet, figure out how things work, just start talking, just put your ideas out there, stop listening to other people, and just say it exactly how you see it. And somehow, doing the basic things in society that they tell you shouldn't work, the things that they say aren't supposed to be popular, for that guy to end up somehow with the president, It's really amazing. It really is amazing. And again, I think, I truly believe it is societal rejection of the mind virus. Because when a virus penetrates, an organism naturally tries to defend itself. And the only way to defend itself is by being as natural as possible. We know this because we know that the vaccines don't work. You know that vaccines are harmful. How do I know? Recently had an opportunity to speak with Dr. Peter McCullough. Again, crazy. Dr. Peter McCullough, literally the most researched and respected doctor in his field. And he dropped some truth bombs. So if you haven't heard that, definitely go back and listen to that interview. We had an opportunity to speak. We spoke for about 45 minutes, give or take. And basically rundown, vaccines don't work. You can get it through other bodily fluids. The spike proteins never go away. The vaccines are really bad for you. They're causing cancer. They're injecting into your food. And you should do your best to try to get rid of them. Cliff notes. I think I hit all the topics right there. Basically, every single conspiracy theory that you think it about the vaccine that they tell you is conspiracy is actually true. And you are not crazy for thinking that this weird ailment you have came out of nowhere. Because it didn't come out of nowhere. It's probably from a vaccine. That's what he said. And I got my first strike on YouTube for it. For asking questions. I didn't say it. I don't know anything. I said multiple times, I don't know anything. I know the only things I know is because I'm going to ask people like you that actually do know. How am I supposed to know? You can't even find this information online anymore. Like, how do you even decipher between what's truth and what's not truth? There's no way to know because we all live in our own digital ghettos. I don't know. Fortunately, we had the opportunity to speak to Dr. Peter McCullough, and I try to keep the questions as simple as possible because I didn't want to get into like this large scientific discussion. I didn't want to get into too much conspiratorial type stuff. I wanted to ask questions that I thought would actually matter. I wanted to ask questions that actually would impact me and my life. And I did. I asked questions I thought would be relevant to all of our lives. And they took it down for medical misinformation. YouTube did. They, not only did they take my interview down, but they took other people's interviews down. And I believe they're taking pretty much everything that he's done down. I try to follow him because, you know, we started DMing each other on Instagram. And I try to follow him and they said, oh, this account is known for misinformation and fact checks. Are you sure you want to follow him? Yes, I want to fucking follow him. Are you serious? Of course I want to follow him. I want to know what's going on. Why can't I follow him? I try to tag him in a story because he put up a video and he tagged me. So I try to tag him so people could go find him. As soon as I tag him, they say, hey, are you sure you want to tag this account? This account is known for misinformation. This account is known for fact checks. This account is known for spreading disinformation. Are you kidding me? Who made that decision? Who decides that? Who decides what is misinformation and disinformation anymore? If you can't trust the doctor, actual doctor, not like your local doctor at the corner store, like the doctor, over 700 citations, maybe the most researched person in this field, 17 papers on COVID itself written, the one that they call in to do all the congressional testimony so that even the government can figure out what the hell is going on. You're going to call that guy misinformation? Then who's true? Who is truth? If you're going to call the most respected person in the field, you're going to call him disinformation. How is that allowed? They're coming. They are trying to silence the voices that they don't want to hear. They are trying to wall you in. into your own digital ghetto. So you only see what they want you to see. So you only hear the voices and the ideas that you threw out there. They echo it back to you. They give you confirmation bias. Say you're right, but actually your ideas go nowhere. They're trying to lock you in. And it's happening. I can feel it. It's going to be worse than 2016. Side note, we're on Locals. Definitely go follow Locals. I've spoken to Rumble. I've spoken to Locals. They swear they're going to protect us. They swear that they're going to make sure that we have a platform. And I get it. I appreciate them. I love them for that. That's awesome. I love this place. Rumble is amazing. But we're in war. This is a war. This isn't like a little battle. This isn't a skirmish. This isn't a trial run. We are an active ideological mind virus war. We are fighting for our society, and not only for society, but we are fighting for our own minds. They don't want you to think for yourself. They don't want you to be a free thinker. They want you to comply. They are trying to flood you with information to cloud your mind, cloud your decision making, make it so cluttered in there that you look to them for help. They want you to come begging back and ask for their assistance. And I get it. Sometimes it says, people will say, okay, Matt, fuck YouTube. Just go to Rumble. Just go to X. Fuck Meta. Just go to Rumble. Just go to X and you'll be fine. Your message will still get out there. Kind of agree, but not really. I don't agree, because if we are in a war of ideology, if we are in a war against this mind virus, you gotta go behind enemy lines. If we stay in our own echo chambers and we speak to only ourselves, we're never gonna win. You can't win. What are you gonna do? Just play practice matches all day? You have to go to battle. You have to get out there. You have to wake people up one at a time. Story. I got a message just a week ago, maybe less than a week ago, about 1 week ago. I got a message 1 week ago, and it was from a girl on Instagram, DM. And if you see this picture, it is the epitome of what a wildly left girl looks like. Completely on that side. Completely. Nose rings, earrings. Multiple earrings, nose rings, blue hair, like the full nine. If you only saw a picture, you'd be like, oh, she's liberal as fuck. That's immediately what you would think. She messaged me. I was like, oh, this is an interesting message. Okay, let me open this one up. She said, Matt, I found your message. I found a video of yours 3 months ago. And I've been watching your videos ever since. And I realized what's going on. Fully woke me up, went down every single rabbit hole. Not only is that amazing, she is making her own content. She is taking the ideas that I put out into the world and repurposing those ideas in her voice, with her face, with her idea, putting it out to her community of people, for people to watch her. And she is waking people up in the form factor that you would never expect. She's doing like 5,000 views a day. 5,000 people every day hear the message coming from someone that looks like them. She's waking people up. She is doing God's work. One video, found it 3 months ago, and she is out there fighting the good fight now. We have to be out there. We have to be out on the other side. We have to do this because if we don't, we're going to lose. They're trying to censor. They're trying to take away people's voices. They're trying to figure all that out. They're trying to take people's ability to communicate. And they're trying to trap us on one side. It's almost like I get this feeling like they're almost trying to put us all in one specific area. Hey, all the people that are fighting for truth, all the people that are fighting against this establishment, the people that play God with their lives, let's gather them all up. Let's put them on one or two platforms, and then they're easier to nuke. I almost feel like that's what they're doing. Make you feel like you are, don't belong on the other side where a lot of people are. They trap you in this digital ghetto. Not saying Rumble is ghetto, but you get my point. And then we're like ducks in a barrel. All you gotta do is take it all down at one time. Because they're coming. They are coming. I felt it in 2016 and I shut up. I feel it. I felt 2020. Sorry. I think I've been saying 2016 only. 2020. I felt it in 2020. I feel it now. They are coming. They are going to be relentless. And it's going to be the worst it's ever been. And I feel like that's why we keep on talking. That's why we keep on doing this. That's why we're going to take this episode and everything that I said, we're going to put it on Spotify. And if you're a YouTuber, sorry, it's not going to be YouTube. I'm not allowed to post on YouTube for a week, 2 weeks. I don't know how long. I appealed it, by the way, and of course it got rejected. But we put this information out there on all the different platforms. It's necessary. Because again, the goal is to wake people up. If we're not actively waking people up, we're just entertainment. Are you doing it for yourself or are you doing it for others? And if you're doing it for others because you want to improve society, you want to wake people up, you want to improve the lives and save society for future generations, including your kids and your grandkids and your grandkids' grandkids, if this is what matters to you, you have to be willing to go to the other side. I believe it. It's why I do what I do. It's why I spend so much time over there. It's why I don't spend as much time over here as I could or I should. Because if I was here every day, I'm sure that our platform would be even bigger. Why? Because consistency brings more regular listeners and we could get sponsors and we'd blow it up. And if we really wanted to do that, then maybe we'll say yes to some of the propagandists and they'll pay me $2,000 for every topic that I talk. And we can make $500,000 a year. Why not? That's not the goal. That's not why we started this. We started this because we are concerned about the direction of our society and somebody, at least somebody in the world, has to sit on the 1% of people that's going to be a thought leader and that's not going to back down no matter what. Because again, regardless of what your history and past is, it doesn't matter right now. It doesn't matter right now. The war we are fighting is bigger than maybe one ideological difference that you have. The war we're fighting now is bigger than maybe one bad or two bad or even three bad moments you may have had in your past. Because it's not a left-right thing. It's an us versus them. I was at this big donor event. I was at this big donor event last weekend for PragerU. I was at the big donor event and it was a interesting. Interesting is an understatement, but it was interesting. It was one of these events where they're doing fundraising and, you know, it was like $25,000 for a table. And your average person there, I don't know, they spend so much money. I think they raised like $1 million or whatever it is. And it's a lot of blue blood money type of people, people that, you know, don't work for a living, a lot of them. A lot of political influencers because I think it just makes people feel important. A lot of ear whisperers, you know, like the kind of skeevy looking guys that don't actually donate money, but like speak on other people's behalf and whisper in people's ears. A lot of them. Also saw Ben Shapiro there. I feel like that's the same category of people now. There were a lot there. And it was interesting. It was interesting because, first off, before the main event, they had this VIP event. And in this VIP event is their top donors and people that they would be considered, I don't know, influential online. And I'm in this event, and you know, it's these are the big donors, the ones that donate $100,000, $200,000 to a person or a group or whatever. And I'm at this event, and I was shocked. I was shocked at the number of these, let's call them super donors. I was shocked at the number of super donors who knew who I was, that were excited to meet me. Shocked. Never saw that coming. The super donors that wanted to meet me and say hi, I was shocked at the number of them because I didn't think they knew. I thought they would be completely oblivious to what's going on in the world. I think, and I thought about, why do they follow me? Why do they listen to my ideas? Why do they care? I think even them, they can feel it. They can feel that they live in an echo chamber. They can feel that what they're being told and what they're seeing is not the full truth. Even the people at the top of society, they can feel the mind virus infecting them. And they're just looking for fresh perspective. They're looking for something, or they want to be at a dinner party and they want to have a unique idea because otherwise, you know, it makes them interesting and special. So they want to find someone that has a different perspective to what everyone else says, because otherwise, you know, they become boring, and God forbid you be rich and boring. But a lot of them followed me. I didn't see that coming. And then when you get to the main event and you get to the people who donate $500 or $1,000, we call it the sheeple class. People who just want to be a part of it and want to be seen there and want to go because it's like a socialite type event and want to feel like they belong. They had no clue who I was. They're oblivious because they've already been affected. Completely affected, infected. And I'm at this PragerU event, and a couple interesting stats. Their annual budget last year, and if you don't know, PragerU is the nonprofit branch or the side of Daily Wire. So Daily Wire is on one side, PragerU is kind of like the other side of it. Their annual budget is something like $72 million. 150 employees, $72 million, and they got 2 billion views last year. And they put out that stat very early on in the event. Like, that's awesome. $72 million, 150 people, to get their messaging out, that's how much they spent. $72 million to get 2 billion views. I spent $0, except some time, probably done half a billion to a billion views by myself. $72 million to the 2 billion views. I'm like, that doesn't seem like a lot. I feel like you guys are wasting your money. That's why I told the donor sitting next to me. She said, I can't believe they did so much work. And I said, sorry to break it to you. That's shit. They're burning your money. Because this whole thing is a big campaign event. Whoever's in charge, whatever her name is, she wants to run for office. You could feel it. I felt it within 5 minutes. She wants to run for office. And this thing is a campaign fundraiser. Because that's how they operate. And all the donors are in there. Most of the leadership there, they're like anti-Trump people. And they are very, very pro-Israel people. Not to say there's anything wrong with that. But, you know, America first. It was interesting. It was different. And after the event was over, I was sitting in like this at the bar. I was sitting at the bar and I found myself with these ear whisperers. You know, kind of the skeevy looking type. The ones that kind of show up and, you know, like whisper in your ear and tell you what you should think and try to promote their propaganda. And they say that they come with money, so like they're able to affect change. A bunch of them. I sat in a circle with them. And they put a lot of their money. A lot of those people put their money into DeSantis. And say, Matt, why do you hate DeSantis so much? It's literally the question they asked me. Why do you hate DeSantis so much? I said, I don't. Then why did he kick you out of the event? If you guys don't know, flashback, I got kicked out of a DeSantis event in January. Why did he kick you out of the event? I don't know. Why don't you ask him? But why would he kick you out then? And I had to tell them. The Ron DeSantis campaign was the worst campaign, the worst presidential campaign in the history of all campaigns. I've never seen a presidential campaign run so poorly in my life. From the moment that it started, no, from before it started, it was failed. Last year, he announced a book. I said, when he announced his book, he should have been on a book tour. He should have been on every single podcast promoting the crap out of his book. He didn't. And then he had this weird launch of announcing his campaign on X. And, you know, Elon, God bless his heart, that was the dumbest thing ever. It was foreshadowing for what was to come because that just flopped and that didn't work out. And they said, oh, Ron DeSantis, we're going to have an open discussion and dialogue about, you know, like your views and, you know, why you should be president. And we're so excited to have you. And then Ron DeSantis sat there and he pulled up a script. I would like to run for president because, and that's what he did. Failed from the beginning. And I told them exactly that. These are the guys who threw millions of dollars at Ron DeSantis. I told them. He was better before he ran for president. He couldn't handle the pressure of running for president and all eyes on him. And as soon as he was done not running for president anymore, he actually got a little more likable. He couldn't handle the pressure. That's not your guy. And they said, Matt, but I don't know if we can get behind Trump. I don't know. I don't think I could get behind Trump. We don't trust him. Are you going to vote for Biden? No. Okay. These are the cards we have in life. This is what we have. We have a binary choice at this point. Are you going to back Biden or are you going to back Trump? You guys control the money. You guys can influence where money goes to. You guys are people that are able to shift narrative because you guys are part of the paid propaganda. They don't shudder at that. They know what they are. Are you going to back Biden or Trump? You're like, well, you know, I mean, I guess we have to back Trump. What are you waiting for then? What are you waiting for? You don't have a choice. You guys backed the wrong horse. He was the worst candidate in the history of all candidates. It was dead out of the water, right out of the gate. And you guys wasted a bunch of money. You guys could have been helping out otherwise. But now that you know, and now you have no choice, does it even matter? But we don't. Seriously, I don't know what you guys are doing. And they're like four drinks in, five drinks in. I don't drink. Gives me an edge in those situations. I don't drink. They drink. They're four or five drinks in. They're starting to get a little annoyed, a little upset. At the same time, they get it. You can't let Biden win because that's horrible for everybody. Can't let Trump win because you don't like him. But at this point, it doesn't matter anymore because you don't have a choice. Exactly what I told him. Exactly what I told them. Like four of them sitting around. Again, these are the ear whispers. The ear whispers that whisper in the ears of campaigns, of influencers, of the content creators. The content creators that they make content for themselves, not for others. The ear whispers to them. And we part ways, and we end our conversation, and they ask me a bunch of questions, like, who does your editing? Who? I'm like, I do it all myself. How much does it cost you this? How much does it cost you this? How much does it cost you? Like, no, like, I do it. Like, there's a AI that I use for voice to help, like, normalize voice, and I don't need a sound engineer. There is a plugin for Final Cut where I can get rid of room echo if I need to get room echo. It cost me $2 a minute, and they're like, can you write that down for me? Because they spend millions of dollars trying to figure this stuff out, trying to pay other people, 150 people, $72 million a year to get 2 billion views. They can't believe that someone out there has figured out how to do it for cheaper. They don't even look. They don't care. After a conversation, we go home and we part ways, and the night's kind of over. And the next day, I wake up. And I do a little bit of sightseeing while I'm down in Palm Beach, and I get to the airport maybe like 3 o'clock, and I go on my phone, I open X, and there's Ben Shapiro. Why I've decided to back Donald Trump. Funny how that works. You have an opportunity to speak to the ear whisperers. You give them a new perspective. You give them a new point of view. And all of a sudden, you're impacting change. Because people, most people out there are just content creators. They're not thought leaders, content creators. They just say what they're told to say. They say for the reason of being self-serving. Power, money, influence. They don't care about other people. They're not willing to make the sacrifice to die on a hill in order to better society. Not a lot of people out there are willing to do it. I'm looking to find out who the real ones are. Because I feel like as we get into this, and as we fight against this uniparty Congress, as we start fighting against this uniparty Congress and the propaganda machine and the dissemination of mind virus going on throughout the entire world, I'm trying to figure out who the real ones are. Because we're going to need to organize. We're going to need to protect each other. And I think that's the thing. I think that's what I'm going to be working on in the future here, trying to figure out how to get people together that I think deserve an opportunity to amplify their voice, deserve an opportunity that are necessary for society, that are actually doing work because they care about society and they care about you, not care about themselves. I'm looking for them because I think we need to bring them together. Not only bring them together, but we need to protect them. Because they will cancel those people. They're going to cancel the people that make actual difference in this world. They're going to take away their voice, and all you're going to be stuck and left with are the 99% self-serving content creators. We don't want that. We need, even if it's just 1%, maybe one day it'll be 2%. Maybe one day it'll be 3%. Maybe one day it'll be 4%. Maybe eventually we'll be the majority again. People that think for themselves, think independently, think that want to better the world, that want to put their ideas and words out into the world for the betterment of others and not just themselves. Maybe we will be the majority again one day. I have hope. I feel like I have to retain hope. I have to believe that that's a possibility, because if that's not a possibility, why are we even trying? If that's not a possibility, I might as well just take the propaganda money and just start making dumb videos and, just like chill and enjoy my life and not have to worry about it. Not have to worry about, hey, are the feds tracking my phone? Hey, are the feds going through my Instagram? Hey, are the feds going through my text messages? Hey, am I going to get a call from the IRS? Hey, are they going to swat me one day? Like, I don't have to worry about this shit anymore then. If it's hopeless, it's actually better. If it's hopeless, might as well just eat the bugs and comply. If there is zero chance to fight back. But I feel like we have an opportunity. I feel like there's a shift coming. I feel like the tide is rising. Just the fact that so many of you are still here, listening, watching, being a part of it, it proves that we are the allergic antibody natural reaction to the mind virus. It proves it. It proves that when they try, the mind virus tries to infect an organism, that naturally we will try to fight it out. And they try to tell you you need drugs. They try to tell you you need technology. They try to tell you you need all these things to fight a virus. Where have we heard that before? They tell you it's better if you stay away from people. They tell you it's better if you just simply comply. And if we've learned anything in the last 4 years, is that simple compliance is not the answer. And I'm fired up. I am fired up today, and it's a little more doom and gloomy than I like to be, and maybe it's what is necessary right now because it's coming. I can feel it in the air. It's so thick. I get messages every day from all the other creators. I'm getting canceled again. Oh, I just lost my TikTok again. Hey, you know, I lost 1,000 followers on Instagram today. Hey, like I'm on Twitter, and for some reason, my engagement and my views are down by 75%. I hear it from everybody. I don't know why everyone tells me, but they tell me. And now that I know, I have to say something. That's like my biggest flaw in life. I can't just hold shit to myself. I have no choice. And here I am telling you, protect those you trust. Even if they're a small creator, but you know they're trying their best to get their ideas out there, support them. Even if it feels like their words are only reaching 100 people, their words are reaching 100 people. 100 people is a lot of damn people. Don't take that for granted. Oh, you know, we should support this person because they get 1 million views. No. Support the people that actually care. Support that 1% of thought leaders that do it for the benefit of others, regardless of how big or small they are, because we need to protect them. They're coming for them. They're going to wipe them out, and we're all going to be stuck in our digital ghettos. Censorship is real. It's definitely happening. The Uniparty is obviously the Uniparty. We know that. They just showed it today. They just passed this $1.2 trillion bill with $500,000 for the gay LGBTQ plus senior home and the $400,000 for the nonprofit that gives tuck clothing to kids and to promote $500,000 to another school to promote transgenderism amongst schools and children and kindergartens. $150 million for climate change. More money for war. $650 million for every single state to be able to handle the illegal migrant crisis that they themselves created so that they can grift off the $650 million that they're giving to each state because they're going to create businesses and they're going to create different shelters and they're going to create food programs and they're going to create these nonprofits that pay themselves $1 million per year. They're stealing from you and they're shutting the people up that are speaking out. Even if the person you trust is speaking to 5 people, protect them because they're speaking to 5 people. That's a lot of people. When's the last time you stood there and you spoke in a group of 5 people, 10 people, 100 people, 1,000 people. That's a lot of damn people. They jade you with these numbers. They make you sound like, oh, I only got 400 views. It doesn't matter. No, you got 400 fucking views. 400 fucking people in the world heard your idea. That's a lot of people. They try to make it sound like it's insignificant. It's so significant. Protect the ones you trust. Protect the ones that you believe are doing it for the benefit of others. Because this is a war against the mind virus. And if we lose, we will be stuck in our digital ghettos forever. That's the stream. That's what I got today. If you missed any of it, I'm going to put it up on Spotify and Apple Podcast. And I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. I thank you guys. Thank you guys for supporting the journey. It's not possible without you. I don't take anything that I've gotten in the last 6 months for granted. Nothing. Nothing for granted. And if you can, if you'd like, join the locals, join the Discord. We're trying to build a community outside of social media so that we're able to communicate, we're able to share information. I think we're going to start spending a lot of time in locals. I think that's something that we're going to try to build out. If you are giving and you have the opportunity to help out and you're able to help support our mission and be a part and support the Free Thinker Army as we build, as we grow, as we start adding a network and adding more people into it so that we can amplify our voice, please do. Because, I mean, I've come as far as I can on my own. I really have. I appreciate you guys. I love you guys. And we're going to do it again soon. Thank you, everybody.